expectation. Amen. And let's stand, sing a song. Let's sing a song of amazing love. So thankful for that amazing love.
Thank you.
just a reminder, it's written on the board, but there's prayer this Friday at 7:30 for all those who can attend. It's been posted for a little while, but Saturday, Brother Ty's graduation party, noon to 5, for all those who can make it there. And reminder also that there's two services on Sunday, no Sunday school, and Brother Gabe Smith's preaching from Lyman. Amen. All hearts and minds clear there. There weren't any written prayer requests or testimonies turned in this evening, but if you had an unspoken prayer request you'd like to make known by number of shake, do so at this time. Brother Gareth, why don't you lead us in a prayer also with tithing and offering.
Dear Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you again, Lord, that we can assemble here, Lord, in your wonderful name, Lord. And Lord, I just want to say thank you, Lord, that you made me well, Lord. Lord, I thank you that I just don't have to use those crutches, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Lord, thank you that we can be here, Father, and just praise you. Lord, you are all that matter, Lord. You, there's nothing that matters, Lord Jesus. We just want to be focused on you, Father. Yes. Oh, Lord, we love you so much, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with each and every one of us, Father. May we leave this building with a glow, with Lord, hearing from you, Lord Jesus. People should see it, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that may we be a shining light to those in this world, Father. And Lord, we just pray for our brother Simon, Lord, that we will be ministering tonight, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would bless him, Lord. Oh, Lord, that you would have your hand on him, Lord Jesus, that you would speak through him, Lord, and speak to us, Lord Jesus, this night, Lord. Father, we appreciate all that you have done, Father God, all that you do for us along the way, Lord. Lord, we cannot make one moment without you, Father. We're not good enough, Lord. We're not strong enough without you, Lord. Father, just we pray that you'd be our strength, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, that you could bless us with your Spirit, Father. Father, we just pray that you'd come now and speak to each and every heart, Lord. Fulfill every desire, Lord Jesus. Father, we surrender all to you, Lord. Oh God, be with all those that couldn't make it, Lord. Father, those that may be sick or whatever the issue may be, Lord, you can do it all, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you'd be with those, Father, that really need the hand of God in their life, Lord. Jesus, thank you for your presence now this evening, Lord. Thank you that we can just sit here, Lord, and just know that you promised. And Lord, you don't break your word. You keep your stand here knowing that you are right now in our presence, Father. We just want to say thank you, and we love you, Father God. Pray that you'd be with us tonight, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray this prayer. Amen.
Man, I don't know about you saints, but sometimes I think about it's hard just to have this opportunity to come and worship. You know, there's other countries that they don't even have, they have to meet once a month or once every 3 months, waiting for an evangelist to come around. And here we have it every day. The words from us every day. It's on our iPhones. It's on the shelf. And here we come to church. And Lord, forgive us for taking it for granted, you know. Amen. Let's just let's worship Him with everything we have, saints. Amen. Let's sing that song. Every promise in the book is mine. And every promise. Let's sing a song, Redeemed. Redeemed, I love to proclaim it.
Thank you. evening. Amen. Let's give the Lord a round of applause. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you may be seated for a minute. It's nice when the microphone wants to worship too. Remember the scripture that Jesus said. He said the rocks worship. Amen. So by the grace of God, we're pleased to be a child of the King. It's good to see Richard back this evening. God bless you. It's good to have Dave visiting. God bless you, sir. And it's good to see everybody else just pressing out, loving the Lord. Amen. And by the grace of God, we certainly have been given just a wonderful hour to live in, to serve the Lord. And just thinking I might just sing a song. I had a chance to warm up my voice this evening, so I think that might just be a great time. But anyway, we do have Brother Simon. He's going to minister for us this evening. How there's a fivefold ministry that needs to be active in the church. Every gift supplying. Brother Simon's been a real gift to the church, been a real blessing. And tonight we'll allow him to bless us all by the ministering of the word as we pull and feed off the Holy Ghost. Amen. Looking. They were singing that song. It's kind of on my heart right now. Might be a little faster. I'm going to sing that song, Come By Here. Kumbaya. This is not the fireside version. just a little warning for visitors. Come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Oh, come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Oh, come by here, my Lord. Come and roll, Lord. Come by here. Come by here, Lord. Come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Hallelujah. Come on. Come by here. Desire, oh God, fill us with that Holy Spirit, Lord. Give us refilling after refilling, Lord. Give us a leading to follow you. Time is far spent now. By the grace of God, we'll just... Oh, he's already out here. I got caught up in the worship. Amen. Brother, to make his way to the pulpit as we sing one more song. We'll allow him to have liberty in the Spirit. Amen. Isn't it nice to be free in the Spirit of God? Serve the glory and the honor.
Preach and teach and awesome worshiper and master of praise. God bless that gift. Amen. Really encouraged. I'm not going to do a song special or bring any singing at all here. So, God for our pastor got that tremendous. The Lord had showed me something about a week and a half ago, and I did like four or five double takes and never seen it before. I just want to bring it by the grace of God. He showed it to me. Then 2 days later, Brother Jesse said, "Brother, can you come and take a service?" I said, "Man, God just must have given me exactly what they might need." So, and by the grace of God, we were able to deliver that. And hope it was a blessing by the grace of God. So, still kind of burning in my mind there, in my heart. And we want to just bring that to tonight by the grace of God. So, if you could turn to the Ephesians. We'll read two scriptures. And we'll say a word of prayer by the grace of God. verse 7, he says, whereof, according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, oh my, in this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see. Now we want to kind of focus on this topic here. He says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Notice he's talking about the fellowship of the mystery, and then he beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. And we'll see and reveals. And I've taught it wrong for 11 years. Amen. By the grace of God. Not all the way wrong, but just a greater unfolding by the grace of God. Turn to Matthew 13. After dealing with the kingdom of God, parable after parable after parable after parable after parable. Matthew 13, he just got done teaching two major parables, huge wheat and tares, sower of the seed, right? And in verse 34, he says, all these stood in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. Then he says, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. Notice he's bringing all these parables, right? He says, that it might be fulfilled by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. He says, I will utter things which have been kept of the world. So let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we just love Thee, God, and Lord, just thank You for each one, Lord, pressing their way out, God, Lord. It must be our predestined moment to gather. Reason, Lord, You falls in my lot again here, Lord. Our pastor has been gracious enough, Lord, to let me take service, God, and Lord Jesus, Lord. But we want You to take it, Lord, and Lord, just break this little bread here, God, Lord, and multiply it, Lord. May it be a blessing to the saints, God. We just thank You so much, Lord, for Your Word. Lord, and that, Lord, it continually opens, God. And Lord, I can say, Lord, that we're right now still just catching up 60 years ago, Lord God. It's still opening, Lord. We're still coming. It was sent there, Lord. We just love You, Lord. Bless all the saints, God, and Lord, bless the song leader. Thank You so much, Lord, for our pastor, God. Just bless him, God. And Lord, lead him and guide him, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. You may have your seats. Sorry. So I guess I have a little title. It would be The Kingdom. The Kingdom. So if we could, I just want to build a little foundation here. Just get a little foundation. Then I want to get to what the Lord kind of opened up to me by the grace of God. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Amen. Like I said, I've been teaching a certain thing. Not totally wrong, but I just haven't taught a little bit greater revelation of it by the grace of God. And it ties in. It's not... You'll see it by the grace of God. Psalms 22. Let's start right here. Just going to work a couple. Just build a nice foundation so we can be settled. Our feet will be on solid ground, on the Word of God, on the rock. We don't want to be on just a thought, one quote here or one quote there, but we want to be on solid ground. Absolutely. We know we can build here. Absolutely. That's right. Absolutely. And Paul also warned. He says, "Take heed how you build on the Word of God." Absolutely. Because why? By the grace of God, Jesus Christ called Paul, and He allowed Paul to lay the foundation of it. Absolutely, that's right. He said, "Every man take heed." Absolutely. So we want to be real careful by the grace of God with the Psalms 22, verse 26. It says, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever." He says, "All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before Thee." He says, "For the kingdom is the Lord's." Absolutely. He says, "And He is the governor among the nations. Absolutely. So this entire kingdom, all made up of races and multitudes of people, absolutely, of all kinds of culture, geographically placed on the world, and He is the kingdom. Absolutely. That's right. That's right. Real simple. Absolutely. Go to Psalms 103 here. By the grace of God. Psalms 103. Verse 19. It says, the Lord in the heavens and His kingdom ruleth over all. Absolutely. He had to prepare His throne. Why? People that was going to be sitting on that throne with Him. Just for Him. But He said, I had to prepare it. He said, just like He prepared from the foundation of the world, everything. Absolutely. It's right. It had to be set in order. Right? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Absolutely. And what? So the saints of God, those that receive the Holy Ghost, can sit on that throne with Him that have overcome the world. Absolutely. That's right. Amen. Now, Psalms 145, almost like in a prophetic kind of realm here, David speaks. Psalms 145, verse 8. He says, the Lord is great, He's slow to anger. Thank God. Amen. That's on me. And of great mercy. Oh my, He speaks to me again. Absolutely. You can identify yourself right there. He says, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. He says, all the works shall praise Thee, O Lord. He says, and Thy saints shall bless Thee. Notice He says, Thy saints shall bless Thee. He says, they shall speak of the glory of Thy kingdom. Absolutely. It says, they shall speak. Future tense, right? He says, and talk of Thy power. Absolutely. He says, to make known unto the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. He says, Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Absolutely. Everyone from Adam all the way to who? Probably the last Antichrist spirit, the Pope, the Antichrist spirit at the end, or whoever. All those, God has ruled and reigned over each one of them. Absolutely. They're just kind of like checker pieces or chess pieces, if you will. And one thing I like about like that game checkers is that you have this side and you have your opponent, right? And you have to move them forward, but you can only take one step. Absolutely, that's right. But then once, you know, and it takes, I'll say it like this, a lot of the front line never make it to the end, right? Absolutely. He says, but it's the back, it's the cavalry, it's the reserves that are able to make it to the end. And what? Then what? Then you can say, king me. Absolutely, that's right. That's right. But remember, what are they kinged with? The ones that died before. Absolutely. It's almost a type just like Christ. Absolutely. Christ had to die for us. That what? That once we reach the end, I'll say this, of our natural life and enter into the spiritual life, what? Then He can king us. Absolutely. Because what was it? It was another person. That's right. One person, and then another person put on top of them that's ruled and reigneth and what? And then, because He's the King of Kings, we became a king also. Absolutely. Why would it say in Revelations 17 and 14, He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? He's talking about Himself and us. Absolutely, that's right. He's not talking about the natural king, Nebuchadnezzar, or King Hussein that was just taken off a couple years ago or whatever. But He's dealing with Himself and His children. Absolutely, that's right. He calls us what? Kings and priests. Absolutely, that's right. But He's the King of all kings, and He's the Lord of all lords. Absolutely, that's right. Amen. Praise God. Now, dealing with the kingdom, let's go to Matthew 3. And we'll see John the Baptist here. And notice the timing of this. John the Baptist, the first prophet messenger, right, to the first coming of Jesus Christ. Matthew 3, and he starts preaching. Verse 1, he says, and in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Absolutely. So the prophet's first message is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Absolutely. That's right. He says, and what do you got to do? He says, you got to repent. Absolutely. You got to get all the sin out, all the unbelief. Absolutely. He says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Absolutely. Now, praise God. Let's go to Matthew 4. And we move on here a little bit further on. I'm just a little teacher here. And I like to teach by the Word of God. Now, Matthew 4, verse 12. Now look at this. John the Baptist was here, and he's teaching. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Absolutely, that's right. It's drawing nigh, right? Absolutely. In other words, it's coming into the kingdom era. Absolutely. Now, verse 12, he says, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And what was John? He says, I must decrease and what? He must increase. Absolutely. So now he's moving off the scenes. God's taking him off the scene. And now Christ is picking up where he left off. He says, verse 13, it says, now leaving Nazareth, he come and dwelt at Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast and the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, right? And then now verse, jump down to 16 with me. The people which sat in the darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. But look now, look at what he just took. He picks up exactly where John the Baptist left off in verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Absolutely. What? The same message. The forerunner had the same, and then Christ in the flesh had the exact same message. Absolutely. That's right. Amen. Complemented each other. Absolutely. That's right. Now, let's continue on here. Go to Matthew 5. In verse 20, so Christ continues to preach this, right? And now he goes and shows something. Verse 20, he says, and I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Absolutely. So now is not this. This is the time where the kingdom is supposed to be brought up and to be built up and come into and to be ushered in. I'll say it like that. But here Christ tells his disciples. He warns them. He says, unless you live cleaner than them, if you live more holy than them, you'll never enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, it's impossible because the Pharisees and scribes could live the law to the T. Absolutely, that's right. And the only one that could pinpoint when they come in contact was Jesus Christ. Absolutely. And they could never confound him, and he'd always pointed out their sin. Absolutely what? The gift of discernment. Absolutely. That's right. Which the Bible prophesied and said would be evil spoken of. Absolutely. Come on. Now, Matthew 6 and verse 10. Actually, start at verse 9. He's teaching them to pray. Right? He says, and after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And look, he says, what, you acknowledge God? He says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, glorify thy name, right? Raise him up, absolutely. And then the very first thing he asks for, he says, thy kingdom come. Absolutely. The very first thing in prayer, thy kingdom come. John the Baptist, the kingdom of God is nigh. Jesus, come on the scene. The kingdom of God is nigh. Absolutely repent. Absolutely. And he says, when you pray, he says, do this. He says, ask for the kingdom first. Absolutely. That's right. Praise God. Just a little foundation here. Verse 31. He says, therefore, of Matthew 6, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, right? Absolutely. Verse 33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Of all these things, you get saved. The first thing, just like Christ praying, he says, thy kingdom come. He tells them once again, the first thing is seek the kingdom of God. Absolutely. He says, and all his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Notice, what did he say before? He says, unless you excel what the righteousness of the Pharisees and scribes, you'll not get it. But look, he says, and his righteousness shall, and all these things be added unto you. Absolutely, that's right. What Christ did for us. Absolutely. We're not counting on a Pharisee or a scribe. Absolutely. Their righteousness. But Christ says, he says, but my righteousness. Absolutely. Praise God. Amen. That's right. Now, let's continue on here. Chapter 7 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. There's a lot of things said about the kingdom here. He says, verse 21, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh my. He says, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He says, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works. He says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Absolutely. So everyone that does these works of Jesus, it looks like they're in the kingdom, but Jesus says they're not. Absolutely. That's right. We know these things. That's right. The counterfeits. But for when you have a counterfeit, there's got to be a real. And we're dealing with the kingdom by the grace of God. Now, one more here in Matthew 7. Let's Let's see here if I wrote it down right. No, I actually wrote that one down. But here, I was trying to get the scripture, I'm not sure what it was, where Jesus was talking about John the Baptist, and he says, the least of the kingdom, he's dealing with John the Baptist, he says, the least in the kingdom is still greater than John the Baptist. And he said, what, a John the Baptist? He says, there's not a man born of a woman greater than he. He says, but the least in the kingdom is greater than he. Absolutely. So there must be something to this kingdom, right? Absolutely. Now, let's go to Matthew 12. Amen. Now, the kingdom of heaven is hand, right? All these things. And we know by the grace of God what the kingdom of heaven is, the entrance in the kingdom of heaven. Let's cover that real quick. Matthew 12, verse 25. He says, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Absolutely. He says, and if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? He says, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. Now look, he says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, he says, the kingdom of God is come unto you. Absolutely. So what is the kingdom? It's the Spirit of God, or what? The born-again experience. Receiving the Holy Ghost. Absolutely. Amen. And when that first came down in Acts 2, that was the start of the kingdom of God. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, go to Luke 17. Building the foundation here. Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 20. Luke 17, verse 20. It says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, and he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Because what? It's not a natural kingdom, correct? That's right. It's a spiritual kingdom. Absolutely. But then once the spiritual kingdom comes, you'll see it naturally. That's right. It'll be what? In you, and you, and you. Absolutely. That's right. It'll be in the bride of Christ. He says, neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Absolutely. That's right. We're dealing with the Holy Ghost. Absolutely. That's right. And once you enter in that kingdom, the Bible talks about how you are heirs of heaven with Christ. You're actually citizens with Him. Absolutely. That's right. He says, and it's a spiritual kingdom. Though, remember, we're dealing with natural and spiritual. So the natural men and women of this world will look at you and you'll see a natural man. But you're an actual spiritual citizen of another dimension. Still manifested, still here in the natural. That's right. God just doesn't take us from the natural to the spiritual right away. He just places the spiritual within us and leaves us here in the natural. To what? Overcome. That's right. Praise the Lord. Now, John 3, building a little foundation here. John 3. Amen. He's dealing with Nicodemus here in verse 3. He says, and Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That word see means understand. He says, verse 4, he says, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Absolutely. You cannot even take place. You're not even a real citizen just being justified. You're not a real citizen being sanctified. Absolutely. Living a clean life, but you must be full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Absolutely. And that's what our pastor preaches right there. He says, and cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Notice he's making a difference between natural and spiritual. He says, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, even though you're still in the flesh. You're counted as what? Christ's kingdom, His domain. He is over you. You are one of His citizens. Absolutely. That's right.
Amen.
He says, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Absolutely. Dealing with the kingdom of God. Dealing with this kingdom, right? A spiritual, supernatural, like our pastor brought that one quote. He says, dealing with the mystical body of Christ. With the mystic, you'll become a mystic. Absolutely. Something spiritual and natural mixed together almost. What is a wizard or like a witch or what? They're natural and spiritual put together. They have such a gift. They're in the spirit and they're in the natural and this and that. But they're not part of God's spiritual kingdom. They're part of another kingdom. Absolutely, that's right. Oh my, it's made manifest in their lives. Sure. All right, okay. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 4. Dealing with the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 4. Verse 17, he says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you in remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. He says, now some are puffed up, as though I would not come unto you. He says, but I will come to you shortly. He says, if the Lord will and will not, and will know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. He says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. That's right. And we're the power. It's not something I can just make up or manifest or force on anything or out of myself, but it comes from the Holy Ghost and Him alone. That's right. Yielding. Absolutely. I just read a quote. The prophet said, he says, many of us have received the Holy Ghost in our heart. We've been sealed. He says, but we only got enough to quit lying and stealing and cheating and doing these things. He says, but God, he said, the Holy Ghost wants to fill you all the way to the uttermost parts of your being so that He can have full control of us. Absolutely. And that you can do the will of God at any time and at any moment. Absolutely. That's right. Absolutely. Where you can hear His voice anytime. That's right. My gosh. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, go to Revelations 1. You know, John the Revelator, the beloved of Jesus. They call him John the Revelator because he had the revelation. What was one of his revelations here? Revelations 1. Verse 9, he says, I, John, notice, this is his own words. This isn't just something he scribed. He says, I, John, who am also your brother, he says, and companion in tribulation, he says, and in the kingdom. Absolutely, he says, I'm one of them. Absolutely. One of the few, obviously, outside St. Paul to say, I'm one of the kingdom. Absolutely. That's right. He goes back all the way what John the Baptist was preaching, says, I'm in that kingdom. He goes all the way back to what Jesus preaches, says, I'm in that kingdom. Absolutely. That's right. He says, I'm in. Who's he type of? The bride of Christ. Absolutely. Showing that what you'd be in the kingdom if you've received the Holy Ghost. He says, and in the kingdom and in patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos. Amen. For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Absolutely. That's all of our testimonies by the grace of God. Amen. Now, let's start getting into what I kind of want to deal with here. Just dealing with the kingdom, right? We know God's control of everything, right? We know the kingdom, entering into the kingdom is receiving the Holy Ghost, right? Absolutely. And what? Then you're heir, you're in the spiritual kingdom of God at that point. Absolutely. Now, I want to dive into something that the Lord kind of showed me. I hope it'll be a little blessing here. Just want to break into it by the grace of God. Now, when I first come to this message, I heard this word. There was a little stir, a pretty good stir for what I hear. Others have made comparisons to it and said it was a really good stir by the grace of God. And we heard the word of God. Brother Dave played a major part in that for me, Brother Craig, Brother Brooks, obviously all those played a major part, right? And we witnessed for a year solid and hitting this and that, whatever. And then our pastor, Brother Cam, comes into the Word of God, and right away he goes. He goes out with such zeal, and he catches, by the grace of God, he's able to reel in our sister Betsy, Brother Dustin, and then Brother Randy at one time, just like with one Bible study, boom, we're in. Sister Betsy runs out that night or whatever and runs to Walmart, gets a skirt on. Absolutely. Such a stir. Such a stir. What? Want to dress right. Want to dress like someone in the kingdom. Absolutely. It's right. Because the spiritual will make manifest on the outside. Absolutely. It's right. Amen. Now, this takes place. Word gets around. Brother Cam is now believes the word of God, the message of the hour, wins out, goes and wins three souls just like that. And now there's a stir among the people, right? Among the denominations of this area. They call a little secret meeting. And they say, I get a call. I didn't know what was going on. I get a call from Brother Scott Overmeyer. He says, brother, he says, having a meeting, they're inviting you. You know, Brother Scott Overmeyer will talk. when he gets nervous, he gets a little, he does. he said, brother, I need some, they're calling a meeting. They want to meet with you guys. We don't feel led to go. We don't feel led to go. I'm like, well, if they're not going, I've only been in this for a year. He's learning the word of God, studying, eating it up, every tape, reading the Bible for the first time in my life. For a whole year, feasting on the revealed word of God. I understand it. Running from Genesis to Revelations, tying everything, every doctrine, absolutely. Brother Cam comes in and another ushering of souls by the grace of God. He called me and I called Brother Scott. I said, brother, they don't feel led to go. I'm probably not going. He said, Si, he says, you can't. I said, Si, I'm by myself. Scott's not a talker. He's not much of a witnesser. He says, I'm by myself. I said, Scotty, you know what? I'll go. Let's do this. Sister Betsy volunteers. So I'm going, Si. I still got a temper. Been a bloodbath. But we'd have won. He says, I'm not going. Brother Randy says, I'll go. All right. Praise God. Let's go. Drove out to the country there in Liberty Centerville. Absolutely. To a Methodist church. Going down into the little catacomb basement there. We walked down. I had my little stack of histories. I brought my little Bible study, my Bible. We're ready to go right into war. Why did I bring all that? I want, just like Larry Bird, he says, I wanted every advantage. He says, psychologically, spiritually, every advantage. Absolutely, it's right. Right on. I go down there, sit down, four or five, six pastors and their wives right there in a semicircle, whatever. I sit down. Sister Betsy's here. I believe Brother Randy was over there. Scott over right here next to his parents. His mom and dad forced him to come. So I'm sitting down here, right? And I'm thinking, my goodness. And then there's 40 people sitting this way from different denominational churches that had an issue. We get down there. I sit down. And I'm thinking, oh, my, how's this going to go? How's this going? A pastor rises up with that church. He says, well, we just called this meeting here. You guys called some problems in our area. I can't remember verbatim, Sister Betsy. And we kind of want to get to the bottom of this and stop this or whatever you guys are doing. Blah, blah, blah. He says, we might kind of want to cover that demon seed Bible study you've been teaching the people here, or the young ones. And I said, you mean serpent seed? He said, no, demon seed. I was like, fine. Absolutely. I said, absolutely. I said, we'll run. We'll take it right through from Genesis to Revelations. We'll show you the scriptures. Absolutely. That's right. Absolutely. So I started doing the Bible study, and I got about two or three scriptures in. All of a sudden, this one stands up and starts yelling, it doesn't mean that. And this one stands up, starts yelling, it doesn't mean that. And then this and that, and I'm trying to throw a scripture to every question. Well, what about this? Throwing a scripture here, throwing a scripture there, this and this. And there, it was just an uproar, yelling at me, this and that, and all these things. And finally, I can't remember if it was them or me, but I said, how about let's move this to baptism? Because the Lord gave me a little bit of wisdom here. He gave me a little way on how to catch them. And if I could just get them to say the right thing, I got them. And they said, absolutely, let's go to baptism. Let's deal with that. Absolutely. I said, yeah, we'll deal with this later. Absolutely. So we started going to baptism. Started working. I showed them Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Absolutely, Jesus said that. Absolutely. Then we go to the book of Acts, and I started running that and showing Lord Jesus Christ baptism. And what was? And then, of course, it started another uproar because, you know, how the beliefs, the false doctrine among the churches. And it came to, I said, Jesus Christ, that's the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And they said, well, you know what? They said, pretty much in unison, they said, we'll believe Jesus' words over Peter's words any day. We'll believe Jesus' words over Paul's words any day, over Philip's, absolutely, taking out, discrediting all of the book of Acts. But we'll stay with Matthew 20:19. I said, and I had them when they said that. When they pretty much agreed, and they said, we'll believe Jesus' words over anything else, the red letters, right? I said, all right. I said, you'll believe it, right? They said, absolutely. I said, let's put a pause right here. I said, let's go back to serpent seed. They said, all right. I said, I can prove service. He'd write by Jesus' own words. They said, you can. I said, absolutely. Let's go to Matthew 13. Right? Matthew 13, powerful a set of parables here. Matthew 13, my. 4, 5, 6 pastors and their wives. But they said the wrong thing. I started reading the parable of the sower. And I said, does anyone have a problem with the parable of the sower? No, we don't have a problem with the parable. No, we read it, absolutely. I said, what about the parable of the wheat and tares? We read the parable of the wheat and tares. We read it. Anyone got a problem with these? No, no. And I said, did you know that Jesus actually interpreted word by word, verbatim? In other words, he gave the true meaning of what he said about these, right? And they said, yeah, yeah. I said, let's read those. They said, okay. I said, I'm going to show you. I'm going to prove it to you. Okay, all right. We read the very interpretation of the sower of the seed. I said, does anyone have a problem? Do you understand what he's saying? Absolutely, I believe it. Then I started here in verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. And I read it real slow, putting emphasis on every word. And a sister popped up, said, you're reading it wrong. I said, I'm reading the Word of God. I said, you can't add to this interpretation. You can't do it. Because this is Christ's own interpretation. Absolutely. That's right. He says, the field is the world. The good seed, he says, are the children of the kingdom. He says, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. He says, and the enemy that sowed them is the devil. And all of a sudden, the hush came on the crowd. Pastors looking at each other, wives looking at each other. They didn't have an answer. Total silence. I finish the interpretation. Hey, we're going to go back to, all right, you know, it was over. They are accountable for the Word of God. And in that night, they crucified Christ a second time. Themselves. That's right. Because what? When that silence hit, that means it had hit, went into their ears, into their brains, and it had registered down in their heart. And they knew they were had. Dangerous messing with the Word of God. Absolutely. That's right. But now I kind of want to get into this a little bit here. Something I've never seen before. I never understood it quite like this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. And if they didn't understand when I brought up this the first time, they surely wouldn't understand this little Bible study. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 7, he says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained be what? Before the world unto our glory. Notice, he's the hidden wisdom, right? This is what? Parables made known. This is the Word of God made known. He says, ordained before the world unto our glory. Absolutely. Before the foundation of the world, these things were ordained. What? The mysteries of the Word of God, right? He says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Absolutely. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. What? The hidden things. Now, what's He working with? We're going to tie these scriptures together. Go to Ephesians 3. This is one of the ones we start out with, correct? Absolutely. Verse 8. Ephesians 3, verse 8. Unto me, who am the least of all the saints, in this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches. Notice how he references the Gentiles. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make, not only to preach to the Gentiles, but what? And this was to the Gentiles. He says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. All men Gentiles. He says, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Absolutely. So here there's hidden things that were before the foundation of the world made known to what? The Gentiles. And for the Gentiles. Right? Absolutely. Now, let's Let's go to Colossians. Hope it's a blessing tonight. We just want to be a blessing. We want to be yielded of God. This is what He gave me. I was just finishing the Church Age book for the third time. I know it's not good, but in that many years I've been in the Word. And I was just finishing it, and I was reading this here. And I was going through the last bit there, the resume. And I just read something, and I was like, what did he say? Oh, my. I look at it, I step back, and I'm looking, and I'm scratching my head, and I'm like, I don't understand. And then I start thinking about it, and thinking about it. I started running scriptures. You know how we do. Man, is this in the Word of God? Is this right? And the Word of God opened up a little bit. All right. So I just hope I hope this be a blessing by the grace of God. Colossians 1. Not the scripture here, but what we're going to hit here in a little bit. Colossians 1. Verse 25. He says, wherefore, he says, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. He says, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. The mystery, the fellowship of his mystery. He says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you. The hope of glory. So this mystery has been hid in the Word of God from the beginning. Right? Amen. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Absolutely. So here's the fellowship of the mystery was hidden in the Word of God. He's pointing back to the foundation of the world. Right? Amen. Now, let's look at this. Go to Matthew 13. Oh my, that little denomination, you know, ecumenical showdown I had there 10 years ago. Here, right in this chapter, Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 24. And another parable he put forth unto them, saying, he says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And for years, for 11 years, let me show you. Church Age book. Page 69. And the prophet goes into this. He says, now let us be very careful that we are not confused at this point. He's dealing with serpent seed. He's dealing with original sin. He says, thus we will seek the word of God to validate this claim, saying that he says, there's two seed lines all the way through the scripture. He says, there's a seed of God, the holy seed line, the holy seed, according to Ezra 9:2. He says, and there's a seed of the serpent, according to what? Genesis 3:17 or 15:16, right around there. He says, and he's dealing with this. He says, there were two children who were originally offered sacrifices to God. Cain and Abel sprung forth. Oh my, for 11 years, I taught this. It was Matthew 13, 24, that parable. Is it right? Partially, now. I'm sure our pastor will search this out by the grace of God. Now, he says, two children who were originally offered up sacrifices to God. Let me repeat that. They both offered sacrifices to God. And he goes on and he starts building his foundation, scripturally proving that serpent seed, the original sin, was correct. He starts building this, right? And now look here on page 70. He says this. He says, they were planted together, they lived together. Oh my, it sounds just like the parable. Matthew 13. He says, they both made claims upon God and worshiped God. Absolutely. One was vindicated, one wasn't, right? You know, one was blessed, one was cursed, right? Absolutely. Now look what he says. He says, this is key. He says, these illustrations dealing with Genesis 3, 4, and the rest of the way he built. He says, these illustrations depict perfectly the parable of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said that the kingdom of heaven was like unto a man who sowed good seed, he says, only to have an enemy come and plant tares among those good seeds. Oh my, no wonder I've taught it partially for 11 years. Absolutely. Because that's what he said. He brought it through Genesis and Revelation. He proved it. How many scriptures we got, brothers, that teach or even know the Word of God? Hundreds. Hundreds and hundreds proving this doctrine. My goodness. He says, God did not plant the tares. Satan planted those tares right amongst the good seed of God, right? But let me go to that first sentence there. He says, these illustrations depict perfectly the parable of the Lord Jesus when he said that the kingdom of heaven was likened unto man. He points back this tree. So I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I taught it faithfully. Absolutely. Been faithful to it. Brother Cam and I, a couple other brothers, Brother Gareth, Brother Dave, Brother Dustin, we met Saturday. Brother Cam helped me iron out on how to teach Godhead, see a bigger thing on how it was taught. Oh my. Thank God. Now I know how to bring it a little bit different. Absolutely. That's right. And right on the Word of God. And here's kind of what we're dealing with today, tonight, by the grace of God. So here I read through this thing. Page 367 here. And I'm reading this. Taught service seed hundreds and hundreds of times. I studied. In fact, that was my favorite topic when I first heard this word. I'd study that thing and look for nuggets here, look for nuggets there, and this and that, and all over, right? And then here, the third time, 11, 12 years, whatever, later. Wait. 2001. 14 years, I'm sorry, 14 years later. But in this, I believe I received this word of God. Third time here. Church age book, and I'm at the red. I'm past the Laodicea, just a breeze, trying to breeze through this little bit here called the resume. And he starts saying this. He says, "Now please let us be careful here. This message to the angel of the church, because the resume is he's going through the church ages real fast. He didn't take 200 or 300 pages, but he just took like 10 pages here, just a real quick." Brush, like a cliff note. Ooh, right? He says, which is the Ephesus age. He says, let us be careful here. This message to the angel of the church, which is at Ephesus, is not a message to the actual local Ephesian church. It's not really to them 2,000 years ago, but what? We know there's church ages. Broke down, I believe, in Ephesians or Colossians. We can show that. Churches to come, the churches which have come, right in the Scripture. So he's not dealing with the city. He's dealing with the age. He says, it is a message to the age. He says, now look what he's saying. Now look what he says directly after this. And I just about... He says, and that age had in it, the seed of truth. Thank you, brother. He says, and the seed of error, exactly as set forth according to the parable of the wheat and tares. I thought the wheat and tares was dealing with Genesis 3 and 4. He says, and this age had in it the seed of truth and the seed of error. Notice he's tying this to Matthew 13. He says exactly, notice he's using exactly. He says exactly as set forth according to the parable of the wheat and tares. He says, now I've always taught this. You cannot add to Jesus' words. When Jesus interpreted something, that's the interpretation thereof. And we don't add to the word, but what? When a revelation, when a little firecracker goes up and the big ones and they blow up and then these little ones blow up too, it's a further revelation of that firecracker that went up. Oh, it had little babies too. Okay. Little nuggets off that big nugget. Absolutely. That's right. And it's just like that in the Word of God. What does he say next? He says, he's dealing with Matthew 13, right? He says, the church ages is the field. What? Matthew 13, verse 37. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. Here he said it was the church ages. Absolutely it is. Now let me show you this. Church Age Book 368. He says, on the cross he bought the whole world of people. He says, they are His. He is the Lord of the living. He says, and the dead. As pertaining to ownership, He says, not relationship. When He died on the cross for us, He purchased all the sins of the world, lost and saved. They're all His. Now it's His kingdom. That's my servant. I'm Lord over him. He may not want me, but I'm still his Lord by ownership, not relationship. And when he purchased the world, what did it start? It started the church ages. Because that's exactly what took place next. Right? What is the kingdom of God? The Holy Ghost came, right? Absolutely. He says, and he walks in the midst of that body that has within it life and death. So what is this? This parable is the fellowship of the mystery. Why did the fall have to happen? Why did Eve fall to the serpent? Why did Adam save her? Not just to make a good story. Remember, what is the key to the understanding of the Old Testament? Shadows and types, allegories. Everything that took place in the Old Testament was revealing the true purpose, the true plan. The mystery of what? The kingdom of God. The fellowship with Christ, the Holy Ghost, was right there in Genesis 3. The fall, all these things, absolutely. It was the type of the church ages. Absolutely. That's right. Now let's break this down a little bit and show you exactly how this works. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable he put forth, saying unto them, the kingdom of heaven. Notice what? There was the kingdom of heaven. The Holy Ghost. Was the Holy Ghost given in Genesis 3, 4? The Holy Ghost cannot be given until Christ had died, risen, went to the Father, come back, and now the kingdom could start. The king had already been kinged, Lord of lords and King of kings, absolutely. And now he has to make his subjects. He's got to build his kingdom. That's right. And what? The Holy Ghost falls on 120. Absolutely. He says, but now look at this. Verse 24, he says, another parable he put forth, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. What did he say here in page 369 or 367? He says, the good seed is the pure word of God. But now, dealing with this parable and dealing with the major parable before, the parable of the sower of the seed, the parable of the sower of seed is also what, let's read it here. It's also dealing, let's see here. Matthew 13, verse 19. When any man heareth the word of the kingdom. So here the parable of the sower is dealing with what? The church ages. The Holy Ghost filled word of God for his day. Absolutely. It's all tying. If you look at this, if you look at these parables, each one is dealing with the church ages. Absolutely. In fact, I'll show you a little scripture here coming up. He prophesied a false doctrine. Absolutely. Now look at this, verse 24. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed. What's the interpretation? Verse 37. He answers unto them, he that soweth the seed is the Son of Man. When was the Son of Man in dispensation? Was it Genesis 3? It was when Christ came. He always the majority of the time he called himself what? The Son of Man. The Son of Man. Son of Man. Absolutely what? Which means what? The prophet, the God prophet. Absolutely. This is the beginning of the church ages. He says, now look, he says, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. But now let's look at this. Verse 25 of chapter 13. What does this mean? Oh my. You're going to have to hold your place here, because I'm going to jump to some scriptures and I'm going to show you what took place here. Verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. For years, I taught Adam was taking a nap, and the serpent just come right in there and beguiled Eve. He was sleeping. Was he, or was he talking about the church age? He's talking about the church age. Now let me show you something here. Go to Acts 20. Men, notice, men. How many men were on the earth in Genesis 3? One. But the word men is plural, not singular. So he's dealing with what? The church ages. Absolutely. Acts 20. Let me get there. Acts 20 and 25. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God, he says, shall see my face no more. What? A man would fall asleep. What does it mean? He dies. He says, therefore, I take you to record this day. He wants this thing recorded because he knows he's going off the scene. He says, this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. He says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. Why? He says, over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. After what? He bought us, right? The whole world. For I know this. He's pulling this all the way back from Matthew 13. After my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He says, and also of your own selves shall men arise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. What was it? After the original disciples, the apostles, all 11, St. Paul come on the scene there, right? They what? Carried the word, the revelation for their day. Amen. Solid. Who was going to step up to Peter? Who was going to step up to Paul? John the Revelator, that sweet guy? Who would ever say something bad about him? But once they started dying off, Peter, a pillar in the original church of God, die off. Paul, taken off the scene in Rome. Peter says, I'm not even worthy to die like my Lord. And he went upside down. Once these big hitters, the original church, the original, died, the enemy could come in. While men slept, the originals were gone. It was over. Who's going to step up? Well, if Peter was here, if Brother Branham was here, oh my. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15. Verse 2. He says, by which also ye are saved in, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Notice all these saints. And we can get to we don't have to go, but Second Peter says, he says, I want to bring this to remembrance. Paul said, he said, record this thing. Record this stuff. Write it down so that when we go off the scene, someone cannot come in here and deceive you guys. Because they knew they were packing the word revelation for their day. Directly. He says, what have I preached unto you except ye have believed in vain? For I have delivered unto you the first of all which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, right? Now look what he's going to point to. He says, and that he was buried, and when he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, right? He's pointing to the Word of God. He says, but now, he says, we got witnesses, boys. He says, and that we was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once. He doesn't just go to the Word to prove. He says, but here's an eyewitness. Eyewitnesses of what? The death, burial, resurrection. Those that were there at Acts 2. He says, we got witnesses. What are you going to say? He says, after that which you've seen above 500 brethren at once. 500 to one false one saying it's not real, it's not real. Here's 500 guys right here. Step up to them. Anyone? Any takers? He says, brethren, he says, the majority, he says, are still with us under this present, but sleep. But while men slept, and one by one, we're dealing with what? Spirits that don't die yet. We're dealing with spirits, but men die. God made this battle so unfair for us, and we're still going to win. My goodness. He says, after that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles, and born out of due time. Absolutely. But one by one, these apostles, the disciples, these true believers, those that were real eyewitnesses to the Word of God, started dying off. Anyone could come up behind this pulpit and preach it just a little bit different than Paul. Preach it just a little bit different than Peter. Absolutely. Well, where's it? There's no one here to dispute against what I'm teaching you. All the 500 are gone. Peter's gone. But while men slept, Satan knows if the Lord don't come, we're all going to die. Natural diseases, absolutely. All right. Notice the urgency in these letters. Ah. So write these things down. Bring them to your remembrance. 2 Peter 1, verse 12, he says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Absolutely. Once Peter goes off the scene, we have those who have been taught by Peter, but what happens after them? Direct, true word Bible studies. Direct, true word sermons preached to by the saints of God, proved by signs, wonders, and miracles. He says, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. Right? He says, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Absolutely. And he goes on and breaks down what? The Transfiguration Mountain. We know those mysteries, right? But now, look at what he's warning next. He says, I'm about ready to go off. Chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. He prophesied and said exactly what Christ was going to take place. Matthew 13. Who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord. Why? Because where's the 500 that's going to say anything against them? Peter said, I saw Christ, he revealed himself to me 3 days after he died. I was there. Who are they going to believe? They're going to believe Peter. Even denying the Lord that brought them up and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Absolutely. He's telling what's going to take place. Paul said, grievous wolves are coming after I go. Peter says, write these things down and get them right. He says, because when I go, they're coming. They're coming. Wolves. Right? Absolutely. Now, I hope that was a blessing, because that just opened up everything. And then now I'm seeing this. And the Lord kind of gave me those scriptures, right? Now I'm seeing that parable is the church ages. And I'm thinking, well, my gosh, praise the Lord, I better read the rest of these parables. It's dealing with us. Let me read this. I'm going to read you a quote here. 308, Church Age Book 308, and we read this a couple times before. The prophet, he says, I saw a man, he goes into this dream, he says, I saw a man that supposed was my father, right? We read this right before. He's dealing with what? The big man, and he's got that three-sided club. And he's dealing with, and that three-sided club, that man's got this in his hands, he's dealing with this woman, right? He says, he had a large club with three corners on it. You know when you take a log and set up on one end and hit it with an axe? He says, and it makes a three-cornered wedge like a piece of firewood. He says, it was like that. Blunt. Sharp maybe even. Hard as wood. He says, and he would take this club and hit her with it and knock her down. And she would lie there crying. He says, every time she tried to get up, he would hit her again. Edit that again. He says, then finally he got sick of it. He said, I cannot see this man hitting this woman with this club. He says, I'm done with this. He says, I went over and grabbed him by the collar and turned around and said, you have no right to strike her, right? And when I said that, my muscles grew and I looked like a giant, a faith giant, right? He says, the man saw them and he was scared of me. And I said, you strike her again, you'll deal with me. He hesitated to strike her again, and then the dream left me. Right? Had this dream, right? Now look at this. Then the Holy Ghost gives the interpretation to this dream. He says, the woman represents the church of the world today. I was born right into this mess. In the dirtiest of all the mess. The lowest, the worst of all the mess we were born in. Where a man turns to a girl and gets a courageous or a whatever award. Are you kidding me? He says, the mess that she is in. She was supposed to be a kind mother. She is the mother of harlots. We know that. Her husband is the denomination, is the ruler. The three-cornered block, notice he says, is false triune baptism unto a trinity. Right? Let's go to Matthew 16. Hold your place in Matthew 13. So here he's talking about this major doctrine here, switch. He says, revealing the interpretation to this dream, this three-cornered block, right? Absolutely. Matthew 13. Christ here prophesies, and I'll show you where he did it after this. Matthew 16, verse 5. He says, when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and just Sadducees, right? And they reasoned among them, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. And Christ discerned their thoughts. He explains it. The revelation of the Word of God hits them in verse 12. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread. He says, but be of the doctrine. So this leaven in this bread represented what? The doctrine, a false doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? So we know that what? Leaven represents the doctrine. Go to Matthew 13. So the Lord had showed me, oh my goodness, it's all the church ages. It's the kingdom of heaven, the Holy Ghost. It's all dealing with the church ages, the bride. Verse 33. Another parable he spake unto them. The kingdom, the church ages, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto leaven. He says, which a woman took. Oh. And hidden three measures of meal. He says, till the whole was leaven. What was the coming of Christ? What was the coming? The flesh, the corporal body coming of Christ. What was the revelation? The revelation of the godliness, right? Great is the mystery of the godliness, the Godhead. It was the revelation of the Father dispensation, the Father office, the Son dispensation, the Son office, and the Holy Ghost dispensation. Three offices of God. But what? It was switched from offices to people. And they took one scripture, Matthew 20:19. And they started saying, well, look, Matthew 20:19, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, individual people. And that little leavened, false interpretation on the Word of God, it leavened the entire lump. And the mystery of who Jesus Christ was lost. For almost 2,000 years, Christ said it was coming. Just 200-300 years after this came, the doctrine of Trinity came about. There's three gods. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal. It's the same meal, just divided up separately. How was the meal cut? In the Old Testament, it was cut what? Same meal, all one big thing meal, just broken up into three, but they put a little leaven to each, made a false god. False god. False god. Christ prophesied of it. You could never, the Trinity revelations, it's right here. Right of the church ages. Jesus Christ continually opening, revealing the Word of God. Oh my. Until the whole was leavened. Beat down the woman. Prayed to three persons for almost 2,000 years. But thank God for restoration. Yes, Lord. Oh my. Now look at what he says here. If people can't see the truth of the Godhead, but fight it, they can't ever see the rest of the truth because the revelation is Jesus Christ in His church, the fellowship of the mystery. Genesis 3 is the church ages. That is the type of the church ages. He says, and His works in the midst of the church for seven ages. Did you get that? He says, now I'm sure. My goodness. Now let me read this to you here. He says, page 371, he says, for the food that man truly needs, even the Word of God. But they're eating what? Leavened bread. Ephesus. Not Ephesus, really. Until they died off, and then things started creeping up. Little thoughts, little questions in the Word of God. He says, even the Word of God, they were given creeds
and dogmas and rituals and were forced by the state. My goodness, coming up. Forced by the state. He says, and above all, they were given three gods with a triple compound name of the one true God. And water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ gave way to pagan baptism in three titles. Christ prophesied it, verse 33. He says, the real believers ought not to gone there, dealing with what? The 325 AD Nicene Council of Rome. He says, they had already lost much truth, even by then, he says. In the space of 300 years, what else was taken? What other truths were taken? And then what? The true leaven was really pumped up, and it just destroyed the entire thing. It was so this meal was so leavened that one little scripture could ignite the entire restoration. The just shall live by faith. That's how bad, how dark the word of God had gotten. One man caught. The just shall live by faith, and it started the entire thing. Oh my goodness. That's how dark the word of God was taken by the Catholic Church, teaching in Latin. They had no word of God. They knew nothing. And that's how bad leavened it was. It was just gone. My goodness. He says, they had already lost much truth, and now they too would lose the understanding of Godhead and forfeit names for titles in water baptism. Absolutely hidden right here in Matthew 13. Praise God. Amen. Verse 45, Matthew 13. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. He says, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Start of the church ages. Absolutely. All these parables breaking forth. The kingdom of God, the Holy Ghost, when the church ages, when this thing starts, you'll encounter these things. This is how it's going to work. The order of the church ages. Verse 51. Jesus said unto them, have ye understood all these things? And 2,000 years later, we can say, yea, Lord. Because they said, yea, Lord. They didn't have a clue, maybe. I don't know. He didn't call them out on whatever, but I'm just saying. Now we've caught up to their revelation. Verse 54. Every scribe which is instructed on the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man, preacher, teacher, whatever, that is a householder of this his treasure, things old and new. In other words, you want to know how to show if a man's a real minister of God? Not only will he be able to dive in the Old Testament, show you scriptures. In the New Testament, show you scriptures, but the both old and new. And right here, this scripture right here has been made new to us again. And what, we just caught up with this, saints. We just caught up with where he was at 50 years ago. We are still catching up to the revelation that was shot forward. I've never heard anyone preach this. This is why it struck me. And I was like, what in the world? I've taught it wrong, kind of. But now, if they really want to go deep into the Word of God, Genesis, Revelation is to show you the church ages, the Gentile mystery. Genesis 2 and 3. Praise be to God. Amen. Now in closing, I want to bring this, dealing with the kingdom of God here. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. Real familiar, by the grace of God. Powerful. Things just hidden right there. What are we going to understand? What is God going to reveal to us a year from now? God, we are excited. See not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What did Jesus say? He says the world cannot even receive this Spirit. They cannot receive the Holy Ghost. Because why? They got the wrong ground, right? What was that parable of the sower? Fell on good ground, some on bad ground. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, or idolaters, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Church ages. Covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. When have men been abusers among themselves outside of Laodicea? What, when Noah's day and Lot's day combined? It's the church ages. Kingdom of heaven. He says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. And we know all these things, all these, we got enough Holy Ghost to bypass these, to fight these things off. These are easy battles now. Let's move on to our kingdom of God. What do we fight in the kingdom now? Brother got the Holy Ghost? Absolutely. Sister got the Holy Ghost? Absolutely. Brother, sister, Holy Ghost? Absolutely. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to our battles here. Hebrews 12. Last two scriptures here by the grace of God. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight. He says, and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Is this any, hindering anybody here? I battle this right here. The easily weight. Oh, Brother Cy, I need your plumbing help on this. I'll be right there. The weight that easily besets us. I'm calling myself out. Help me, Lord. He says, and the sin which just easily besets us. Every weight. A burden here, a burden there. I got to help this brother. I got to help this sister. Help me, Lord. Luke 21. All right, in the Word. Luke 21. Verse 29. And he spake unto them parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. Now when they shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. Right? We know who the fig tree is, according to Scripture. Jeremiah, according to 1947. He says, so likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand again. What? The latter rain, the Holy Ghost, Christ. Christ. What is the mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. This day in the church age. All the way through. This day in the church age. At the end. Verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. The heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away, right? Verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged, and with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. And he gives a warning. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all and to stand before the Son of Man. Amen. That's right. That you'll make the rapture. You'll have the body change. The quickening will take place. So that's my little study there on the kingdom saints of God. It gets clearer. Our faith should be so high. And yet we struggle every day because what? The cares of this world. The sins that easily beset us. Like I taught in the last Sunday school. The reason our little sins, the easy little sins, because we're all white. I drive a company white truck. And my boss notices it when it gets dark or dirty real fast. Because just a little bit of dirt is exposed on white canopy. One little speck. You won't notice any of the white, and you'll focus right on that speck. And Chuck will say, you got a little road tar right here. It's a white truck. Road tar is black, which is what? A type of sin. Amen, saints. So be encouraged, saints of God. This thing's all been shown through the Word of God. It's all been prophesied of. If you battle anything today, I know our pastor come up. He'd be more than willing to help you pray through by the grace of God. God. When you sit down and pray tonight or get on your knees and pray that prayer, like the prophet said, pray that prayer. Don't say it. Pray it. Thy kingdom come in me. That's right. Lord, release yourself. that this thing, let me receive so much of the kingdom of God that every vessel, every fiber is used for His glory. Absolutely. Amen. So, anyhow, Brother Cam, or whoever, Big Dave, or I think the bishop's got to come. Saints of God, just a little more revelation of the Word of God. A little more understanding. He knew what we were going to go through. He knew the doctrines we were going to fight. Everything false he had to fight. Trinity, false baptism. Praise God. So anyhow, Brother Cam, let's just give the Lord Jesus Christ a round of applause because He's worthy. Amen. He told us of these things 2,000 years ago, and He's still revealing things He's told us. Amen. This is kind of what like eternity's going to be like.
A little break from some shouting preaching, but the word was thoroughly blessed me this evening, and you know, especially for our visitors, you know, God bless you, and what we found over the last 10-12 years for some of our lives, and we have you know, newer saints and people that have come to God, is that, you know, where's all this whole heading, you know, when you can look and you can find 1,400 denominations within the Christian church itself, and what is the separation between all of them? Different interpretation, but the Bible says that the Scripture is given for no, which literally means that I don't have the right to bring my own thoughts of the Word, but the Word will actually interpret it. So perhaps some of you heard some things that some of these other thoughts, but yet by the grace of God, it goes as deep as you want it to, and the Word of God, it just fully unveils itself. You. Like I said, our brother didn't even really, he touched the surface, but yet there's so much more that lies within there. I mean, you can go along the idea of that God's children, they don't die, but the Scripture says they sleep. Amen. You can run it through the Scripture. You can look at leaven, and you can find that in 1 Corinthians 5 it talks about how that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, but just a little bit of sin, it'll destroy the whole church. The church called the lump. Then you can go into unleavened bread and go into the feast in the Old Testament and find that they had a 7-day feast or 7 church ages, and the church had to be unleavened, no sin in the church. And what was the emphasis on that? That Christ would have to be what? Your righteousness, and that He would fulfill that. And you can run all these things through the Scripture, and God is so perfect in His Word. And you know, I never heard that before. And I thank God for it, because it does show that God is continually revealing Himself in His Word. Amen? Certainly see the Scripture. And as he was saying things, obviously more Scripture was coming to my mind. I don't know about yours. But when the Holy Spirit works through you, he likes to reveal Himself right through the Scripture. And, of course, you know, with many of us, if not all of us, what made me feel comfortable or uncomfortable with where I started was when something started peeking in me, and I see, wait a minute, why in the world does this church teach this when it's not according to the Bible? And so we have to look into the Bible. That's where we get our identification from. That's where we find out who we are. And, you know, God has a lot of children. He has a lot of different types of people. But at the end of the day, there's only one faith, the Bible says. So we long to seek that faith. Not going to give you another sermon. But I pray that you're blessed, because, you know, here it is. The Word, Jesus planted wheat. And what identifies that wheat is the Word. So I pray that you've identified yourself with that Word. Amen? And by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit always, He leads and guides you into all truth. Amen? So if the Holy Ghost is there, of course He's going to continue what to bring you closer and closer to truth. Amen? And what is His truth? The Word of God. Like I said, I spent 45 minutes on the phone last night trying to explain why the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not tongues. It's scriptural. It's right there. But you see, these are little things that we tend to where there's everything's in, the devil's got everything in these in a big scruple. He's got every and look at what it's coming down to. Now we're finding churches completely walking away from the Word of God, even in some of the most obvious writings that there are. Case in point, homosexuality. We love those people, you know what? But yet, you know what? I have sin in my life that I need to get rid of. And that's the idea of it all. Not that that people are bigots or they're haters. We just want to follow the Word of God, and we recognize what sin is. Amen? Why in the world would we let someone go to hell? Is that really love? See, so, like I said, just opened about 6 sermons right there. But if we could stand, if anyone has a need of prayer this evening, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I was talking with a new coworker today, and I just told him testimony after testimony, supernatural after supernatural, of how real God has been in our lives. Amen. Things that He's done, things that we've seen. He's a real God. Amen? And I pray that every single one of us, we want more of that Jesus Christ. Amen. Because it's coming down to the hour that we need to be identified by everything that this book says. Lord. So with that being spoke, we'll just sing a song. I hope it's okay, brother, if I go ahead and close tonight. And we'll sing maybe a song or two, and then we'll let you go on your way. If you have need of prayer, you can come forward, and we'd be happy to pray for you. If you want a closer walk with God, if you want to know what the Holy Ghost is, if any of these any things are on your mind, say, God, I need a refilling. God is more than able to do it, even tonight. Amen. So, by the grace of God, let's just sing that song. It's been so so precious to me. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. I just want to be just. I want to have Christ's righteousness. I want to be bathed in that righteousness, where it conquers every ounce of the world that this flesh longs for. I long for that holiness.
God.